Good morning, my brothers and sisters, my CBC Corpus family. It's certainly a joy to be with you on this Lord's Day. And welcome, friends, anyone who may be tuning in for the first time. We're glad you're joining in. We have been looking at the letter of 1 Peter. We're now in chapter 2. And so I'm going to invite you to take a copy of God's Word, take a Bible, open your app, and look for 1 Peter chapter 2. We'll primarily be in verse 7 to 10. 7 to 10 is what we're going to look at. But I want to continue to say that as we look at these truths that are being really poured over us by the Word of God, it reminds me how important it is for us to realize and understand who we are in Christ, especially if we've been saved, if we've been captured, chosen by God to be His people. What are the implications of that? What does that mean? And so as we continue to grow in our walk with Christ, that we would more and more appreciate what has happened to us, what God has done for us, what He's made to happen in us and through us is really startling and should be a cause for great praise and honor to His name. And thank God that He has made us a part of the family of God. But also, Peter doesn't hesitate to give us the contrast of what it means to not be a part of the family of God, to continue to reject and to be what he calls here an unbeliever. And so we're going to get into those kinds of things, but I want to give you four things that you can kind of take down as a simple outline, if you will, four statements that will organize our teaching today. And the first one is this, and this is going to be under the title, Called Out. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning to verse 7, all the way to verse 10, called out. We have been called out. Praise God for that. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But number one, the first main idea that we want to deal with is this. It is important that we remember who we were. Remember who we were. Believer, remember who you were. Lost in your sin. I remember who I was, dead in my sin and trespass, not oblivious to the fact that I was not saved, that I was not captured by God's grace, that I didn't have what I thought I had. And so it is important that we remember who we were. The second thing we're going to look at is we need to remember who we are. You need to remember who you are in Christ. Now that you've been saved, you've been rescued by the grace of God, who are you? And that's an important question to consider. It may seem counterintuitive. It may seem even in some place, you might even take that for granted. But the fact remains that it's important for us to consider that question. Not only who we were, but who we are now in Christ. And thirdly, number three, remember whose you are. Remember whose you are. You've been chosen. You belong to God. You are a part of the family of God. You are a child of God. Remember whose you are. And finally, number four, remember where you belong. You belong with Him. You belong in heaven. You belong in Christ. And you belong in the community of Christ. You belong in the church. You belong with the people of God. That is important, especially in a day and age like ours here in the West, where we are so individualistic. And that goes against everything that we are designed to be as believers. We are a part of the people of God. We are the body of Christ, the church of the living God. He is the cornerstone of that church. We need to remember where we belong. So as we think about that, I want to take you to the text, beginning of verse 7. I want to read that. If you will take take a copy of God's Word and look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 7. Starts with the word so. In some translations, you'll see the word therefore. Again, it's a transition. It is a very important application to what has been stated, and I'll explain that in a minute. So the honor is for you who believe. That's believers. But for those who do not believe, there's the contrast, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. And, verse 8, a stone of stumbling. And a rock of offense. They stumble, these unbelievers, because they disobey the word, as they were destined to do. Now don't miss that part. Verse 9. But, another shift here. But you, believers, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. Why? What is the purpose? That you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Praise God for his word. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for these truths that you inspired through the Apostle Peter, not only to the believers of his day, but to us today, Father. Help us to receive it and to know it, to absorb it. Help us to understand what you will allow us to understand in this moment and continue to grow us. Help us to see, Father, that we have been saved. We are no longer who we were. We are who you've made us to be. And Father, we know that we belong to you and that we belong in the family of God. Help us to see the importance of that and not to miss that. Father, may these truths guide our understanding of what has happened and what has taken place and ultimately give you glory, Father, for everything, your sovereign will in everything, from start to finish, from beginning to end, Father. We thank you for your sovereignty and for your authority, and for your grace and for your power and for your mercy that has been extended to us, Father. Undeserving as we are, you've had mercy on us. We thank you, Father. We pray for those that are listening. May the word wash us all, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God for the word of God. My brothers and sisters, I want to take you back to verse 4. And if you haven't had a chance to hear the sermon Pastor Eddie preached last Sunday, please go and check that out. It is important, but I want you to see the flow. These are connected. This whole section actually starts at verse 4 and goes to verse 10 or even 12. And it's a section that's important. It's all connected together because Peter, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, is just giving us tremendous truth to understand this idea of being living stones. And so I want to take you to verse 4 again, just as a recap to kind of flow into the verses that we are going to be locked in on today. Verse 4, as you come to him, a living stone rejected by men, notice that, rejected by men, but in the sight of God, chosen and precious. So believers, those that are chosen by God are precious to God, are chosen by God. You yourselves, like living stones, are being built up. Remember, Pastor already talked about that last week. We are being built up as a spiritual house. This is important. Why? To be a holy priesthood, to now exercise our God-given responsibilities in humility under the chief, under the supreme priest, under the high priest, which is Jesus Christ at the right hand of the Father. To what? To offer sacrifices acceptable to God, a living sacrifice. Paul talked about this in Romans. Now we worship God with our lives through Jesus Christ. 4, it stands in Scripture. I love that the apostle, like every faithful teacher of the word of God, every faithful evangelist, every faithful expositor, has to couch everything that he says in the Scripture. In the Scripture. And that's what he does here. For it stands in Scripture. Because if it doesn't stand in Scripture, it doesn't stand. And then he says, behold, I am laying in Zion. He pulls from the psalm. Behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, a chosen and precious. This is a prophecy of the Messiah, Jesus, who would be the cornerstone. Jesus is now the cornerstone of the church. He's the cornerstone of everything. Chosen and precious. Remember that language from before. And whoever believes in him, sounds familiar, doesn't it? John 3:16, whoever believes in him, in Christ, in that cornerstone. Remember, this is a prophecy in the Old Testament, will not be put to shame, will not be judged and condemned. See, we are all condemned. The wrath of God remains on us apart from Christ. But when Christ saves us by grace through his mercy, we are now set in a family, removed from that judgment. And we are precious and chosen in him because Jesus Christ has been chosen and is precious to God the Father to do the work that we could not do. And that's why we will not be put to shame. So, or therefore, verse 7, this is why. This is going to be the outcome, the application, the honor is for you. It is an honorable thing. What an honor it is for us who believe. The honor is for you who believe. But, now Peter does something. But for those who do not believe, those in the Old Testament prophecies that are given us, that are called the stone that the builders rejected, those who do not believe. And then he quotes Psalm 118. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Now, before I move on into the rest of that sentence there, the reason that's important is because, again, you see the immutability of God, the unchangeableness of the Word of God, the person of God, the person of Jesus Christ representing the sovereignty of God is unchangeable. Once established, that stone has been set, and it is set. It is immovable. Any rejection of it doesn't change that reality. We will stumble over it. The ones that get hurt are those of us who reject it. The ones that will trip and fall ultimately in judgment are the ones who reject it. It doesn't change the reality that the stone has been set. Praise God for that. Believers, you and I can rest in that. And because now we are saved and we are being built up, we are a spiritual house being built as living stones by the living stone, capital L, Jesus Christ. It is set. It is done. And this is something that these who do not believe stumble over. And even in our day to day, we have many who are stumbling over Jesus Christ, the stone that is set, that has been set, that has always been set. And verse 8, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. This is why Jesus is so offensive. This is why he was so offensive to those in his day. This is why they were so upset. Remember the stories from Scripture, the reality of the relationship with the leaders who were indignant with Jesus, who did not believe he was the Messiah, but it was more than that. They were rejecting the cornerstone. They were rejecting Christ. They were stumbling over Jesus. And this is critical to understand. And Jesus became offensive to them to the point where they stirred the crowd, and you heard these horrible words, crucify him. And then the nails were driven in his hands. Jesus, all the while, the sovereignty of God, the plan of God, amen, in play in spite of all of that. Because again, it is a stone that is set. It is immovable. And what was happening, Jesus, before Pilate was even giving us an assurance that all that is happening is God's will, is God's plan, is God's purpose. But it is offensive to those who don't believe. It is offensive to those who cannot see the glory of God in all of this. And here's the reason they stumble. We have this right in Scripture. I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit gave this to us through the Apostle Peter. They stumble because they disobey the Word. They stumble because they disobey. Imagine, remember when you were disobedient. Think about times when you fail and fall and you are disobedient to the truth of Scripture. Even many of you that are struggling and battling with your flesh, battling with thoughts and battling with how you struggle to obey the truths of Scripture, even though we are enabled by Christ to do so. But these unbelievers, this is even different, these unbelievers stumble because they disobey the Word as they were destined to do. That brings up a lot of questions, I know. And it is a tension that we may not resolve in this sermon, and I don't seek to do that. Who am I? But I will say this, that we cannot overlook truths like these. We cannot skip over and find things we can readily digest easier. Brothers and sisters, it is there for a reason. It is there to communicate something to us and to remind us who we are. Remember, I said we need to remember who we were. We need to remember who we are and who we are now. We are chosen and precious in Christ. We did not choose ourselves. We love because he first loved us. We choose God. If we choose God, he chose us first. And I know these are very controversial truths, and they're hard truths to deal with at times, but we must ask the Lord to enable us. We must humble ourselves before this text and thank God for his sovereign will. Thank God that he is in control. We are not in control. And so if we lack understanding or if we cannot get all the way there, it is okay because we are the creature, not the creator. And yet there is wonderful truths to mine here, and it may take us a while. Some of us, it may take a lifetime to wrestle with these truths, to understand how could it be that they, these unbelievers, were destined to do this. And then the other question that might come up, and I know it, maybe some of you are writing it down. Does that mean that they are not responsible for their decision to reject Jesus? Let me just flat out say, that does not mean that. No, it does not mean that. All of us are guilty and responsible for the sins that we commit. We cannot say that we're not. We cannot say, well, if God is sovereign and if he ordains these things before the foundations of the world, then we are not responsible. We're just kind of like puppets floating. No, not at all. That would be misunderstanding the fullness and completeness of the sovereignty of God. The omnipotence and the omniscience of God that is so big, so wide, who can understand it? Who can understand the mind of God? No, you and I, it has to be the other way around. We have to say, we don't know. We cannot fully grab that. But both truths are real. The Trinity is one of those examples that are hard to grapple with. But here's the thing. Here's the truth. Yes, God destined these unbelievers to reject him, but they are held responsible for their rejection. And it is not for us to know who that is. That is the real important thing here, not anything else. The important truth here is that we have to understand where we're at. We cannot try to challenge God on these things. That misunderstands everything that God is doing or saying here. But what we can say in humility is we can say, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to understand these difficult doctrines, these difficult truths, and help me to apply them rightly. Isn't that the heart of one who has been chosen? One who is precious in the sight of Christ, who is being built up as a living stone by the living stone. Isn't that a faithful to humbly come before God and say, yes, I believe it. I trust your word. Not to overlook it, not to just discount it, not to try to just avoid it. That's something that I think causes more harm than good. There are deep truths to be mined here that are applicable to our growth as believers. And so we can humbly ask God to help us, and we can begin to say, Lord, we know that you are the one who was sovereign, and who you choose to save, who is going to be your chosen people, not us. So that's a good thing for us, because we cannot in pride know who or what or when. We have to declare the excellencies of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who are lost. That's the important thread here that I hope you can at least glean. I know there's a lot more to wrestle with there, and I implore you to humbly study this and ask questions and seek the truth. But man, that is important. They, the unbelievers, stumble because they disobey the word. That's preeminent. As they were destined to, but, I love this in verse 9, but you, believer, you are, look at these four things here. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. And then here's our purpose. This is really the purpose of this whole sermon for this particular section here in this part of verse 9. That you may proclaim the excellencies of him, Christ, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In verse 10, man, don't miss this. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Praise God. I am thankful that God has been merciful to me. I don't deserve it. Where was I going? I was oblivious to the way that I was living. I was oblivious in my sin and in my pride, but God had mercy on me and opened my eyes to things that I needed to see, and corrected me and lovingly began to build me up properly. This is good news, brothers and sisters, and I want you to see how important it is. And so as we look at the scriptures, and I've put some passages in your reference guide, on your worship guide, and look at those and follow those. I don't have time to go over all of them here, and for sake of time, so that we can hone in on these four things that we're talking about, I just invite you to go look at those and follow along. You may be doing that even now, but it is important, just like the Apostle Peter, that we found everything in Scripture, that it is really the foundation of everything. And so those passages are going to be important. Again, look at verse 9 with me once again. You are a chosen race. This is important, especially in a day like ours, well, at any time, because when we become fixated with human race, as far as races are concerned, the obvious, then it can skew our perception of a chosen race that Peter is talking about here. He's talking about those that have been called out of darkness, out of all of the things that are in the world and in darkness and sin, into his marvelous light, and he is choosing a people for himself, and that is a chosen race. That is a race of people of God. We have the blood of Jesus running through our soul, and we are now chosen and precious in Christ. It has nothing to do with earthly race, and that is very, very critical, because we understand that this is a chosen race. This is a people God is choosing for himself to be with him for all time, and we are chosen race. We are a royal priesthood. No longer is that sacrificial system where we have to bring animals unblemished and sacrifice them and hand them to the priest, and the priest had to be very careful, and he had to then present them to God. All that has been torn down by the veil. Christ has become our high priest. He is our mediator. He is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. Amen. And so now we offer him our lives as living sacrifices. And so we minister to others. We minister the gospel to others that they may be awakened to the gospel and the power of the gospel. So we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, not a nation divided, not a nation in turmoil, not a nation in one corner of the world, not a nation that is more powerful than another nation as far as the earth goes or as far as the world goes. No, we are a nation of holy people before God. Remember, Peter said we must be holy as Christ is holy, and we are being sanctified, and on that day we will be made holy for God. We are being prepared for that even now, but we are a holy nation, not an unholy nation. And it has something to do with our perspective on who we are in Christ and where we belong with God in heaven. So we are a holy nation. And lastly here, a people for his own possession. We belong to him. We are his and he is ours. What a precious truth. What a powerful thing to consider. And we have purpose because we've been given life, abundant life in Jesus Christ. And now we have to consider the fact of what it was like to be without Christ. Remember those days without Christ. We were not a people. We were without mercy. We were living in oblivion to the sin and the destructiveness of our ways and our attitude. Our pride was consuming us, destroying our relationships. Our sin was destroying us and preparing us for eternal destruction. And then the grace of God burst forth and broke into our brokenness and saved us and made us his own. He chose us in him. Before the foundation of the world, as Paul says in Ephesians, he chose you. Think about that, believer. Think about that, brother or sister. Consider the weight of what you're being told here, that now you have been given a mercy of all mercies. You didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it, but he gave it to us, and he wants to continue to give it to those that he's purposed, and we must trust him for that and thank him for that. What a marvelous God we serve who has chosen us. We need to remember who we were so that you can thank God who you are now in him. So if you remember who you were lost. Remember who you are now saved and chosen and precious to God. Remember whose you are. You belong to God. You don't belong to anyone else. You don't belong to any particular segment of society. You don't belong to the ways of culture. You don't have to be conned and with peer pressure to other things. You belong to God. You are His. And finally, you belong in the church. You belong with God's people. You belong. You cannot serve God in isolation. You cannot honor God in isolation. You honor God by being His people, by being children of God, a people of God for His pleasure, for His purposes, and all that to the glory of God. Thank God for His mercy. So remember who you were. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. And remember where you belong. And if today you are wrestling with this, maybe this particular text is causing something in you and you're wondering, who am I? Has God saved me? Can He save me? The answer is yes, He can. Of course He can. He is able to save. He is mighty to save. But you must turn from your sin and you must trust in Christ for His saving work. You must obey the word, and then you will no longer be stumbling over your sin. You won't be rejecting the one who loves you more than you know. You will not be warring against the God who made you and designed you. You will now be saved and rescued by His grace and set into the family of God for all eternity. And I pray that that is happening to you today. And so as we contemplate these truths, I invite you to go through this again. Go through this again and ask God to make you His own. Ask God to just turn you from a life of sin and darkness and bring you into His light. There's precious truth in the light of Christ. It is a life that is amazing with grace and mercy. It is a life where God lovingly takes us and matures us and grows us and parents us, fathers us in a way that is just almost unexplainable. And I thank God for His mercy over us. I thank God for the cornerstone that is Christ. Remember, Jesus is that cornerstone, but He's also the capstone. So from beginning to end, we find everything we need, everything in Christ. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for helping us to navigate through these truths, especially the difficult ones. I pray that you would continue to help us think through these things rightly, biblically, and soundly. And Father, we thank you that the Word of God is sufficient for everything. And I pray that, Father, for the work that you may be doing in someone's heart right now, bringing them from darkness into light even right now. Thank you. Praise God for that. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to remember who we were. Remember who we were, where we came from, what you saved us from. Thank you. And Father, help us to remember who we are. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are now a people for your own possession. And help us to remember whose we are, Father. We belong to you and you alone. Not to anyone or anything else, but to you. And Father, help us to remember where we belong. We belong with you. We belong with God's people. We belong in the family of God. We belong in the church. We belong, Father, in discipleship. We belong, Father, in spiritual growth. Father, we belong in Christ. And we thank you for just the assurance of that. And Father, we just pray that the truth of this text would continue to permeate everything that we think and say going forward. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.